यथार संशयाशुता मुनया संप्रसमायना सद्य पुनन्त्युपास्पृथा स्वार्धून्यापो विसेवया। Sūta Gosvāmī. Those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be immediately freed by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. The sages of Naimisharanya are here in this beautiful chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam requesting Sri Suta Goswami to instruct them about the teachings that which have been imparted by the previous great acharyas. One who hears the words, or one who speaks the words that have been sanctified by the lips of the great acharyas, is immediately purified and uplifted. The sages of Naimisharanya are simply requesting Suta Goswami to repeat the truth as he has heard it. They have explained that this is your qualification, that with great humility and submissiveness, you have served the great souls, and you have submissively heard from them. Therefore, when you speak, when you repeat their words, all of the spiritual power, the divine grace of Krishna, who is the origin of all transcendental knowledge, and all of his devotees are coming to us through our ears, into our hearts, by simply hearing you speak. They are explaining here that one should not hear transcendental knowledge from just anyone. It is not a matter of importance whether one is a good speaker from material or technical perception. It is not important that one is a Sanskrit scholar. It is not important that one is an excellent entertainer. What is important? That one is a humble servant of the previous acharyas and is honestly and sincerely simply speaking the words they have heard from the previous acharyas. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninasta padarshanaha. If you want to know the truth, you must inquire submissively from a guru, and you must render service to him. And similarly, for one to speak the truth, he must first inquire submissively and render service. Srila Prabhupada would often say that my only qualification is that I have heard from my Gurudev and I am repeating what he says without changing. The sages of Naimasharanya are here explaining that for such a person who has completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, all such great souls, they can sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the water of the Ganges can sanctify it only after prolonged use. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the foremost religious principle is to serve the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. Mahaprabhu himself, the personality of Godhead, exhibited again and again and again this most important of all spiritual teachings. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Navadvip, Vishwambhar was the name he was called by. When he returned from Gaya, he was encouraging everyone to just associate with devotees and chant the holy names of Krishna. Sometimes he would walk along the banks of the Ganges, and whenever he would see a devotee, he would offer all respects. And when he would see an advanced devotee, like Srivas Thakur, Adwaita Acharya, he would offer his prostrated obeisances and take the dust from their lotus feet upon his head. And he would beg them, "Please, give me your blessings." And those devotees would bless him by saying, "May you always remember Krishna. May you always be engaged in the loving service of Krishna and his devotees." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would become so joyful upon hearing these words. He would say that it is only by the blessings of such great souls as you that anyone can attain Krishna. Therefore, there is no greater fortune in all the creation than to receive the heartfelt blessings of the great devotees of the Lord. And we should know that the blessings of such great devotees of the Lord are always upon every living being. But according to our humility, according to our desire to serve and to please them, we are able to receive those blessings. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be walking down the banks of the Ganges River, when he would see devotees, he would become so much anxious to serve them. Sometimes he would see them washing their clothes, and he would personally take their clothes in his own hands and began to wring it and make it. He would wash their clothes for them. And sometimes he would see that their dhotis were on the bank of the Ganges drying, and he would very carefully pick it up and he would fold it nicely and put it in a clean place for them. And sometimes when he saw that they were just had just finished taking his bath, he would go to the Ganges to collect some mud, and he would put it in a little tray and bring it to them so they could apply the tilak to their bodies. He would engage in the most menial service of the devotees. And the devotees would try to stop him. "What are you doing? You are the most learned Brahmin. You are greatest of all scholars." Some of them even recognized that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he would not take no for an answer. With such mild, gentle, and humble demeanor, he would serve his devotees. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of Vaikuntha, left his position as Bhagavan just so that he could serve his devotees and please his devotees. Why? Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavat explains, just to establish that the foremost of all religious principles is service to those souls who are surrendering to the lotus feet of Krishna. Even chanting of the holy name, that is the Yuga Dharma, we should know. But Krishna reveals himself through his name according to his own sweet will. It is not just by chanting hundreds and thousands of names a day that you can attain liberation. Because Krishna's the supreme independent autocrat. He is not bound by any rules or any rituals. He reveals himself to whoever he is pleased with. And who is he most pleased with? Those who are the servants of his servants. Those who learn to love the ones that he loves. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read the story of Maharaj Ambarish. Durvas Muni was a very great yogi and very powerful. And Ambarish was a simple, humble man, a grihastha. He was a king. But because Durvas Muni had displeased Ambarish Maharaj, the wrath of God was upon him. And ultimately, the Lord Narayan himself explained to Maharaj Ambarish, to Durvas Muni, Sadhavo hridayam mayam sadhumam hridayam dvaham, that do not you know that my devotees, those great sadhus, they know no one but me. And therefore, I know no one but them. They have given everything to me, so I will give everything to them. If you please me, if you please them, you please me. If you do not please my devotee, you cannot please me. There is no way around. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu srayutama. There is no possible way to approach Krishna except through his beloved devotees. And when we understand this principle and we learn how the Lord himself is subordinate to the love of his devotees, the Lord's greatest pleasure is to serve his devotees, then our spiritual life really begins. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we were speaking about one of his devotees. His name was Shuklambar Brahmachari. He was a very poor man. In fact, he was a beggar. He would go house to house begging for some unbroken rice, chipped rice. And it is explained that Shuklambar Brahmachari would go to 5 houses, and whatever little rice he gained from those 5 houses, that was his food for the whole day. He would very carefully offer it to Krishna, and then he would accept Now, you know, when people go begging, he was a very poor man. He did not have nice clothes at all. Generally, a person will give hardly a handful of rice they throw him. People are generally not very charitable to such beggars. Just throw a little rice. Whatever was in his little torn bag, cloth bag that he would always have around his shoulder, he would take that. One day, but Shuklambar Brahmachari, he was always chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And there were always tears of love of God within his eyes. But people could not understand that he was a great Vaishnava. They thought he was a useless beggar. Some people criticized him. Some people derided him. Some people just outright thought he was just a useless non-entity. You know, when beggars come to you, how much sympathy do you have for them? Historically, greedy people, this is the way they treat those who are less than them. One day, at the house of Srivas, Lord Chaitanya was fulfilling all his devotees' desires. And he was sitting on the throne of Vishnu. And all the devotees were having beautiful kirtan. So Shuklambar Brahmachari happened to come to that kirtan, and he started dancing very gracefully and singing the holy names with great jubilance in his heart. And Lord Chaitanya became so happy to see this simple beggar just dancing and chanting in the kirtan that right in front of everybody, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shuklambar Brahmachari and said, I want you to give me rice from your bag. And Shuklambar said, my lord, this rice, you cannot eat it. It's not proper. It is very unbroken. There are all rice chips in it. It is the poorest beggar's food. And Lord Chaitanya took from his bag a handful of the rice, and he ate it. And he said, I have never tasted such sweet and delicious prasad as I have tasted today from the bag of Shuklambar Brahmachari. He said, previously, you appeared as Sudama, Vipra, near Dwarka. And at that time, I also ate the chipped rice that you went out begging to receive. And Rukmini stopped me from taking another handful because she was thinking it was not fit for me. But anything that comes from the hands of my humble and loving devotees is most relishable to me. He said, even the most sumptuous, wonderful preparations coming from the hands of luxuriously wealthy people, if it is not offered with devotion and humility, he said, I don't want it. It is tasteless. But even the broken up, chipped pieces of rice from the little cloth bag of Shuklambar Brahmachari, which he has attained by begging, is something so delicious that even Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, can hardly prepare. Shuklambar Brahmachari, with tears in his eyes, he was praying, my Lord, I am so sinful and I am so wretched and I am so utterly insignificant. Who can understand the inconceivable nature of your mercy? So what is it that we should strive for in our life? We should simply strive to have the association of those humble souls who have given everything in the service of the Lord. We should never judge them, thinking this one is rich, this one is poor, this one is educated, this is uneducated. This one is of white complexion, this one is black complexion, this one is dark complexion. These are all material things. We have to simply understand that those humble souls who are serving the great devotees of the Lord, they are worshipable by the Lord Himself. So how much we should be grateful and eager to hear from them, to serve them, to receive their blessings. And if we simply have this approach to life, there is absolutely nothing that can impede our spiritual progress. Complications come when, due to false pride, we begin to evaluate and judge things according to our own sensual perception. We must see through the eyes of the scriptures. And this is what the scriptures say. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the clothes of his devotees, folded the clothes of his devotees, washed the feet of his devotees. Sometimes he cooked for his devotees. Sometimes he served them with his own hands. And this was his greatest pleasure, to serve his devotees. So what should be our greatest pleasure? To be the servant of the servant of such devotees. In one sense, the greatest way we can please the Lord is by assisting his devotees. And the greatest way we can please the devotees is by assisting the Lord in his service to such devotees. So we have sung this beautiful song tonight. Gauranga bolite habe pulaka sarir, Hari Hari bolite nayane babinir. Narottam Das Thakur is praying to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when will that day be when, upon reciting your beautiful name, Gauranga, that tears will fill my eyes, and upon chanting the names Hari Hari, that my voice will be choked up with love. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained to us in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that there are 64 primary principles of devotional service, and they are described quite elaborately. But of them, 5 are most prominent. Number 1 is to associate with devotees of the Lord. Without the association of devotees, there is no question of properly following any other principles on the path of bhakti. Our Guru Maharaj used to say that those who think that they could practice bhakti in a secluded place without sadhu satsang, they are simply in an illusion. For very, very, very advanced devotees who are completely detached from material attachments, it is possible. Otherwise, it is an illusion. In fact, Saraswati Thakur said, it is cheating. So Rupa Goswami explains association with devotees, chanting of the holy names of Krishna, worshipping with great sincerity the deity in the temple, every day hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and worshipping Tulsi Devi, and or living in a holy place. If we follow these five principles carefully, then there is no doubt that everything else will follow by the mercy of Krishna. We have explained briefly the importance of association of devotees and the way we are supposed to associate with devotees. With humility, sincerity, with the eagerness to hear and serve. The second principle is chanting the holy names. When we have kirtan, when we come together to dance and to chant, we should know that this is not just a form of entertainment, but this is the Yuga Dharma. This is the most powerful process of purification. More powerful in purifying our heart than any amount of charity given to the poor. More purifying the heart than even performing big, big, big yajnas. More purifying than the heart than even sitting down with a vow of great detachment to sit and concentrate one's mind in dhyana or meditation. Because Krishna's infinite mercy is flowing through the transcendental syllables of his holy name. And when we sit to chant our japa, chanting on our tulsi beads, sitting alone or with others around, we should know that this is one of the vital principles of bhakti. It is not something that should be done casually or mechanically. It should not be done just for the sake of doing it as a ritual. It should be done with great care, great attention, and most of all, sincerity. Every syllable of Krishna's name is none different than Krishna. And as we chant each syllable, we should not be thinking, what time is it? We should not be thinking, how many rounds are done and how many are left to do? We should be thinking of the present moment. If I'm thinking of time or thinking of numbers, then we're not thinking of the name. Krishna is appearing to you here and now in his name. Put your attention here and now on the name. We should endeavor in this way. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Just keep your attention on every syllable of every name and forget past and future. And continue doing that until you find your 16 rounds are done. There's no need to be waiting for them to be done. They will be done automatically by Krishna's grace. Just keep your attention on the moment that Krishna is revealing his full, infinite, merciful form to me in his name now. And to the degree you merge your consciousness into that sound vibration, to the degree you intensely are seeking shelter of the name and tasting the nectar of the name, to that degree you will benefit by your chanting of your japa. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam daily. It is most advisable to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in an assembly of other devotees. Because after all, Maharaj Parikshit, he was not just sitting alone in some cave reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was listening to the words of Shukadev Goswami in the association of so many other sincere souls. To attend the Srimad Bhagavatam class is the ideal way of keeping our attention on Krishna. Krishna Sudhama Pagate Dharma Jnani Nibisha Kalona Shtadri Samesha Purana Koda Nodataha. Krishna has appeared. The literary incarnation of Krishna in this age of Kali is the Srimad Bhagavatam. If it is actually not possible to come to a temple or a holy place to sit and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class, then at least amongst our family members, we should read the Bhagavatam together every day. This is an essential, vital principle for spiritual advancement. If that is not possible, at least we should give a substantial time every day to sit and read the Bhagavatam and the commentaries by great souls like His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Association of devotees chanting Hare Krishna, reading Srimad Bhagavatam.
Worshipping the deity.
Ah, deity worship. When we come to the temple, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir, we should understand just by coming to the temple and bowing down before the deity, or offering some gift to the deity, or chanting or dancing before the deity, or praying before the deity, or cooking for the deity, or bathing, dressing the deity, or offering some puja. This is one of the five absolute essential principles on the path of bhakti. Guru Maharaj used to say, if you approach the deity like wood or stone, the deity will appear like wood or stone to you forever. But if, in the association of devotees, we learn properly the nature of Krishna's mercy in this world, we understand that Krishna is personally, directly appearing in this beautiful form of the Murti to serve us. How is he serving us? By allowing us to serve him. It is his love. He's giving us a chance to see him. People sometimes say, show me God. You come to our temple, we'll show you God. God is in and between every atom, no doubt. God is everywhere, no doubt. But you cannot see him everywhere. but he is so kindly revealing himself in such a way that you can see him in the temple. So why should you be so proud? Come, bow down, offer your seva. Take his prasad. And in our own homes, we should have the form of the Lord. We should not eat anything that is not first offered with love and devotion to the Lord. But love and devotion means you make what he wants. Pure food. Food that does not incur any violence upon other innocent creatures. Foods in the mode of goodness, sattvic, vegetarian food. Prepare it nicely, with cleanliness, and with attention. Offer it to the Lord. Bow down before the deity. Offer a little puja. Anyone and everyone can do it. And worshipping Tulsi, visiting holy places, these are very important, essential, regulative principles. One of our devotees, Aniruddha Das, his wife, she just earlier this week left this world. She was suffering from some disease for some time. All devotees should offer their prayers and blessings to her departed soul. That is my humble request. But for many years they were living in Karachi, Pakistan, a place where there is not much facility for devotees of Lord Krishna or Hindus at large to have much facility for openly worshipping. But in their little house, her life and soul practically was taking care of a Tulsi garden. And she had the best Tulsis in all of Pakistan. They would just luxuriously, flourishingly grow. So many leaves, so many flowers. And every day she would water Tulsi. She would personally care for Tulsi. She would sing for Tulsi. And when she became very sick and her body was not able to perform that work, she would actually weep and cry that Tulsi Maharani, she was not able to serve her properly. Such loving reciprocation she was having. Now for a foolish materialistic person, they were thinking, how can you have so much love, dedication for a plant? She would weep every day that because I have just had a stroke and I cannot move my body, I cannot properly serve my Tulsi Devi. She would weep, her heart would long and yearn to do some seva for Tulsi. Was this some blind sentiment? No, this was actual spiritual realization. She could understand that Tulsi Devi, Brinda Devi, is directly an expansion of an expansion of Sri Radharani. She is an eternal associate of Krishna from the spiritual world that has so kindly appeared in all of these plants just to allow us to engage her in the worship of her lords, Radha and Krishna. By taking the Tulsi leaves, by placing them on the bhoga and offering it to Krishna, by placing it on his lotus feet, we are becoming the servant of the servant. We are assisting her in her pure loving service to the Lord by helping her grow beautifully so that she can offer her leaves at the lotus feet of Krishna. By helping her grow so luxurious that wonderful flowers can be placed in the hands of Sri Radharani and offered to the lotus feet of Thakurji Sri Krishna. And by visiting holy places. Rupa Goswami says, residing in holy places. Places like Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, Dwarka. These are holy abodes which are eternally sanctified by the grace of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explained to Jagadananda Pandit that you should not go to these holy places and spend too much time. You should go there in the company of advanced devotees who can properly reveal that holy place to you. Otherwise, you will undoubtedly take things very ordinary, start seeing things with your material vision, even start treating the people according to your material vision, and you will commit offenses. And if instead of advancing, you will actually jeopardize your spiritual life. So the importance of visiting holy places is one of the great principles in the path of bhakti. But we must approach them with great humility. We must approach the holy place through the intimate servants of those holy places. One of the symptoms of Kali Yuga, explained in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is to go to a holy place just to see the sights and to take your bath without hearing submissively in the association of the great souls who are revealing the truth and the glory of that place to us. Factually, such places as Mayapur, we are going to Mayapur, many of us, the holy land where Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent the first 24 years of his earthly lila. This abode, which is absolutely non-different than Vrindavan Dham, it is surcharged with the supreme mercy of the Lord. Anyone who can simply open their hearts to receive what is within the atmosphere of Navadvip Dham will attain ecstatic love of God, the ultimate perfection of life. Every grain of dust, every drop of water, everything existing in the holy dham is surcharged with prema. But how to receive that prema? How to approach the dham with the proper humility and service consciousness? For that, it is essential that we need the help, the guidance, and the blessings of the great souls who are truly in heart residents of the dham. And of course, those great souls, because they are in heart residents of the holy dham, wherever they are, is the holy dham. Nairobi, our Guru Maharaj, he was bringing the holy dham to every corner of the planet Earth. And wherever we sat at his lotus feet and heard from him, we could experience the love of Mayapur, the love of Vrindavan. So if we carefully follow these five principles, properly associating with devotees in a mood of service and respect and humility, attentively seeking shelter of the holy name of Radha and Krishna, regularly hearing the beautiful sound, vibration of the words of Shukadeva Goswami as he spoke in Srimad Bhagavatam, humbly and reverentially serving the beautiful deity in the temple or in the temple of our own homes, and properly respecting and serving Sri Tulsi Devi in the holy places, then, according to Rupa Goswami, it is undoubtedly, and without doubt, that Krishna's mercy will lift us from this world of birth and death and place us in the eternal loving service of his lotus feet. That is the eternal longing of the soul. So let us take very seriously this wonderful Krishna consciousness movement. Let us take very seriously the association of devotees who are really seeking shelter of this Krishna consciousness movement. And serious means let us come to hear and come to serve, and our life will be sublime. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.